You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and a very warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Thursday's edition of the podcast, looking ahead to a couple of races at Catterick on this edition. Sam Norris here in the presenter's chair, joined by Chris Pimlott to take a spin through a couple of races at Catterick and a little walk through some of the latest racing news as well. First things first, Pimus, how are you? Good form?
Very good afternoon to you, Sam. I am in great form. Thank you very much. It's the 10th day of January. Goodness gracious me, where is the year going? It's flying by already, young fellow.
And, Cheltenham previews next, Pimus.
Oh, my great giddy aunt. Oof, don't mention that word to me. That C word. Heavens to Murgatroyd, no. It'll soon come round. I mean, Cheltenham is already buzzing now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, blimey.
Yeah.
I think it's all a little bit early, personally. It's a bit like Christmas. It comes quicker every year, doesn't it? The Cheltenham build-up, that is for sure.
Yeah.
And again, anybody out there who knows about National Hunt horses know they're a fickle, fragile beast. And today they can be good and tomorrow they can be bad. So
quite right.
Take your time. Be patient.
Yeah.
Just don't be rushing into it, listener. Be rushing into it.
It's good advice for life, full stop, that is, Pimus.
I think so. You're right, actually. Yeah. I think that's right. That's why I'm living so long, because I'm not rushing.
That's the key to longevity.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Smoke lots, drink lots, and just take life easy.
Yeah.
I don't endorse that here at William
Hill. Health TV show, are you, anytime soon?
It's not on the agenda, I don't think.
Okay.
You know him, don't you, off the TV in the morning?
Who?
Dr. Hillary.
All right, yeah.
I'd be good with him, wouldn't I? Goodness gracious me.
Maybe to serve as a polar opposite. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. This is what you're not meant to do.
Give a bit of context.
Yeah. But he's still living at the age of 95. How's it work? Happy days.
Let's tackle one of the big stories in the Racing Post this morning then, which surrounds a little bit of Cheltenham news. The news that Finian's Oscar is going to revert back to hurdles after a couple of lacklustre jumping performances over fences. Just hasn't quite been foot perfect as of yet. They're reverting to hurdles. They're going to have a tilt at the stayers hurdle, for which incidentally is 10-1 for here at William Hill. It looks a fairly open division, and this can be a profitable tactic. It isn't the be all and end all once a horse goes over the larger obstacles. It's not a case of they can never go back to hurdles, and we've seen it work to good effect in the past.
Oh, yeah, certainly. I can understand where the connections are coming from, to be fair, with Finian's Oscar. I can also see the same thing happening with Yanworth.
Yeah.
I thought Yanworth put in a very indifferent round of jumping at Cheltenham last time out. He never really got into a rhythm. He never really jumped with any fluency. And yet, the only time when he really needed a good jump was at the last fence, and he really produced it good there. But in between time, he wasn't foot perfect. Again, we've heard that he's been going for extra sessions with Yogi Breisner, the show jumping guru. So he's obviously not a natural, because you don't go down those roads if you don't have to, if you know what I mean. And so I think there's some issue with him. I could certainly see him coming back down to the stayers hurdle. Mm. And I could certainly see him being a massive player.
Yeah. And when you've got a top-class hurdler, you don't need to send them over fences as such, do you? If it can win all those top hurdle races.
Well, you don't need to. And as we've seen it in the past with Big Bucks.
Yeah.
You know, he went fencing and then he went back and won, was it, five stayers hurdles or something ridiculous like that. So, you know, there's no be-all and end-all that if you go chasing, whatever. Some, again, aren't natural. Don't take to it quite as well as you'd imagine them to. So you think you've got the size, you've got the scope.
Yep.
Here we go. This is just a stepping stone, these hurdles, for this fella. Once he goes chasing, we're going to have a gold cup horse. Doesn't always come into play. And the same thing is, the name of the game is jumping.
Mm.
And when you're at that top level, that's one thing you've got to do, is jump. because if you don't, you can't compete.
Yeah.
So I can see where they're coming from with both Finian's Oscar and with Yanwith. And more than likely, it's a step in the right way. Because again, who knows? 12 months' time, might have matured, might have filled into the frames a little bit, might find that jumping the bigger obstacles that little bit easier, that little bit more natural.
Yeah. And we were saying a little bit earlier before we recorded the podcast as well, Bouvardet is a classic example in recent times of a horse who did win both his starts over fences, Pimmers, but certainly that second start at Warwick, we were just looking back through the form a little bit earlier on, didn't jump wonderfully, albeit that he won in a small field. Was odds almost entitled to do so, but since coming back to hurdles, he's been, well, the absolute superstar of that division.
Yeah, I think two things there. A, he wasn't natural. B, there were small fields, which, you know, at the top level, you're not going to get. So, you know, if you're thinking about going to the Arkle route, you're not going to get that, and you're going to go lickety-split from Flagfall. So you've got to be slick, you've got to be agile, and he just wasn't that. He wasn't natural. And they've gone back. But they've gone back, for me, to a lesser competitive division, as in the two-milers.
Yeah.
Whereas I still think, your three-milers is... Someone's saying it's not possibly the strongest renewal. Well, I actually think it's quite a strong renewal.
It's an open renewal, but... Yeah. A good one, potentially, yeah.
So, you know, whereas if you coming back with, like, to Bouvardet to a two-mile champion hurdle horse, I think you've got a little bit better option.
Mm.
I think that division is nowhere near as strong. And, again, as they've proved, it was the right thing to do with him.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, the great thing is there's no rules and it's not set in stone.
Yes, indeed. Of course, it's open, isn't it? You can flip between the two as you choose. We're going to mention a couple of horses a little bit later on at Catterick who've been mixing both disciplines in recent times. Want to get away from horses and move on to jockeys as well, Pimmers, because it's we're always on the lookout for the next top prospect, the next potential champion jockey. James Bowen has, of course, grabbed plenty of headlines this season. The winner of the big race, of course, at the weekend in the Welsh Grand National, the likes of Mitch Bastian coming through as well. Some really good emerging National Hunt jockeys coming through at the moment. And a piece by Julian Muscat in the Racing Post today as to where exactly we've found these talents from, because they don't grow on trees. They have to go through a process to get to where they are now. And the route at present seems to be going through the pony racing, which you obviously know a little bit about, given that you've got the riding school at home. Great to see the pony racing ranks producing talents of the likes of James Bowen, Sean Bowen, Harry Cobden, etc.
Yeah, I mean, basically, they've gone very much down to the grassroots now of trying to promote pony racing. So basically, we are a pony club centre as well.
Right.
And so the pony club have given badges now for children, kids, who can get the opportunity to ride on a simulator. We, at our camp last year, brought in a jockey coach. We brought in an apprentice jockey. They brought the colours. They brought all the gear, the different saddles, different weights. And again, the simulators, they all got the opportunity to ride a finish and carry the whip and where to hit the horse in the right place and everything else like that. So, you know, we're starting to educate the children much better and they're getting the idea of it. The big issue that you've got still is, though, that those guys are never really going to get the opportunity to take it further because, A, it's expensive.
Yeah.
And B, you know, it's whether they're in the situation where family can afford that. So what's happening is the ones that are coming through are from horsey people, from horsey backgrounds. Again, listen, if you've got a very good racing pony now, you can demand what money you want for it, because all these people want the best pony for their kids to get the experience on, learn, improve, and also they want winners. Now, I know, I think the Donald McCain girls have come through the pony ranks as well, and they're doing extremely well, both on the flat and over hurdles. There's a young boy in North Yorkshire who I think he's attached to the Richard Fahey yard, and I'm not sure about his first name, but his surname's Brown. He's got a pony that's won 15 out of 15.
Right, okay.
So that's a proper pony, isn't it?
Yeah.
And he's travelled all over the country with it.
Right,
because obviously you have to get that.
Yeah.
There's not that many meetings. I think Beverly hold one maybe once or twice a year. So, yeah, it's a very, very good grounding for them. I mean, you cast your mind back to years ago. And, I mean, I remember Ollie and Max going to the Dingle Derby, which is like the biggest pony racing meeting of the year, obviously, in Dingle. And, like, that's thronged with people. That's like the highlight of the year for the pony racing. It's massive, absolutely massive. And that's where the Irish got their up-and-coming talent from, because those kids were absolutely ruthless, fearless, lickety-split, but that was the training ground for them.
Yeah.
Lots of the good flat jockeys have come through that grounding. Jamie Spencer, Mick Kanan, to name but a few, you know, and obviously there'll be some more recent ones than them that have come through that schooling ground. So it's a great thing. We're doing lots to try and promote it here in this country. We are getting better at it, and I think the more these young lads come to the fore, such as your Bowen and your Cobden,
yeah,
then I think that's also going to help the pony racing as well. Mm. And again, we could do with those young lads guiding some more of the younger ones, either doing tutorials, doing, you know, lectures or doing something like that just to encourage these kids,
yeah,
to come through. So we're getting better at it. We're a long way to go to make us equal to what the Irish have brought through, but we're definitely going the right way.
Yeah, no, I think that's a fair point, because the likes of James Bowen, they're the success stories, aren't they? They're what these kids can
look up to,
can aim to, yeah.
Yeah, and you say, know, well, actually, 4 years ago, 3 years ago, that's what he was doing, yeah, and look at him now.
Riding the win in the Welsh Grand National.
Yeah, or riding lots of winners.
Yes.
And whatever, not just the big races, yeah, but winners all around. So, yeah, it's exciting times for it, really. Mm. And the Pony Club, as I say, have embraced it and are trying to move it forward.
Because it's worth mentioning that it's certainly the authority is a fairly new thing in the UK. I gather it's only been going, 10, 11 years, the Pony Racing Authority. Has it been more steeped in Irish history? Has it been going on longer?
Much, much longer. Yes. Yeah, much longer. Mm. And again, you know, it's been more structured over there,
yes,
for a lot longer. And again, we're starting to get the structure and the infrastructure all put together now to make ours stronger, you know what I mean? So it's good. It's good. It's positive.
Yeah, definitely so. Is that more so the route than points to points now as such? I mean, points to points here in Ireland are a little bit different. They're certainly with horses, we always say the Irish points to point form kind of works out a little bit stronger because that's a development game for them, whereas a lot of points to points in this country go there after a rules career rather than before. Is it similar for jockeys, the kind of jockeys come through the points to point ranks?
I think, again, like you say, in Ireland, they have the four-year-old, five-year-old to win, to sell on.
Yeah.
That's their business. Over here, it's a completely different ball game. You know, if you get a four-year-old that wins first time out, most of the owners over here say, oh, don't want to sell this. Never had one as good as this before. Let's just crack open the champagne and enjoy it while we can.
Yeah.
Totally different. As far as the jockeys are concerned, we've had one or two. And the one that springs to mind for me mainly is Henry Brook.
Yeah.
He came through the point-to-point fields. Harry Bannister obviously came through the point-to-point. But that used to be a bit more of a stepping stone. I still think it is, but I think just of late, maybe it's not been quite as prevalent as it has been in the past. But don't get me wrong, there'll be plenty of young jockeys out there in that point-to-point field that will be capable of making into successful professionals.
Mm. I suppose the great thing with the pony racing, if you get to it young, it's better to learn things when you're younger.
Of course it is. And to get that experience and get that sharpness about you as well, you know. Mm. So, yeah, it's positive, very positive.
No, good. Very interesting stuff. And let's move on to take a look at some of Thursday's racing. We've picked out a couple at Catterick, first of all. We begin with the 130. This is a handicap chase over almost 2 miles. Got a field of seven lining up for it. I know you like to look at the race names sometimes, Pimm. If there's anything in there.
Heavens to Murgatroyd. Won't we just love to be in the Black Horse Inn? Dine, drink and get merry. Dear, oh dear.
Doesn't get much better than dine, drink and win, really.
It does not at all, buddy. So happy days. Great race. Must be Catterick's richest day's racing over jumps tomorrow. Massive prize money. Winner takes home £8,058. You know, good prize on offer. Competitive 2 mile handicap chase. A couple I like here. First of all, like Workbench, who's been in good form of late. Seems to be a little bit of a Fontwell specialist. Won 8 times, 4 of them coming there. He's up £3 for his success at Sandown last time out. One thing about this fella is he's very tough and very consistent. Obviously, you know, you'd expect that from the Skeltons. They seem to keep the horses on the boil. They seem to keep them working. Whether he can put back-to-back wins together remains to be seen, because I don't think he's done that in the past. But he's had 34 days since that success. Definitely comes into the race as a big player tomorrow. As Vivacious Venetius Unprofit. He won last time out. That was at Exeter. He's gone up £5 for that success, having won off a mark of 122. He's definitely a player. Same thing for him. Can he put back-to-back wins together? But I didn't feel there was anything else in the field that could bounce back to winning form. So I've jiggled and I've jiggled and I've jaggled and I've jangled. And the coin has landed on workbench.
OK. Yeah, workbench in that one for the Skeltons. Could well be between the two last time out winners, though, in the 130 at Catrick. On to the 235, their feature race of the day. The North Yorkshire Grand National Handicap Chase over 3 miles and five furlong, almost 3 miles, six to be fair, a Class 3 event, and a whopping prize on offer here as well, Pimmers.
Blooming heck, nearly £16,000. You can nearly buy Catrick Racecourse for that. Let mine win it. Now, what's Fences, who sponsor this race? They're the guys who make all the fences for the racetracks
right?
in the north. Yeah,
okay.
Very solid fences. Also, they make a lot of the fences for the point-to-point field as well. So they're very very big into the fence building, are the Watts. And I think they're basically based at Catrick as well.
Okay.
So it'll be more than likely a big sort of hospitality day for them tomorrow as well. They've got a good race for the Yorkshire Grand National, one of the many Grand Nationals that we have now. And we've got a previous national winner in this race in the shape of Gondleston Cloud. But he won the Lincolnshire National, that was, Market Raisin, back in 2016. And hasn't quite been in that same sort of form since then. He's actually £8 higher as well since he won that national. So the handicapper not actually helping him out. And again, he didn't run with any great enthusiasm at Wetherby last time out. I know it was over 2.5 miles, which would be far too short for him. But, you know, he was beaten a long, long way on that occasion. The interesting player here is Suncloud, obviously. But his last four races have come over hurdles. Stepping up over the fences tomorrow. Can't think when he last ran over fence. I think it was last year at Warwick when he pulled up. But form is really good at the moment. The yard's in great form. Brian Hughes is in good form. And so that also ticks a lot of boxes. And the other one I thought was interesting until I sort of had a close inspection of his form, that's Billy Bronco, who is only actually going to run over fences for the third time tomorrow in public. He's against some tried and tested professionals here that might just be his undoing, but he's only a 7-year-old. There could be a little bit more to come from him, and one that's very obviously appropriate for me. It's Time for a Pint.
Yeah.
Again, didn't show us a great deal when 6/10 behind Court Town Oscar at Carlisle last time out. That was on the heavy ground. He's as slow as a boat. I think if he's to win it, you might have time for a couple of pints if you're waiting for him to finish the course, that's for sure. So, competitive race, as you'd imagine, for a good prize on offer. I'm hoping that Suncloud, reverting back to fences, can get the job done.
Suncloud then bidding for a victory over fences, having won his last couple of spins over hurdles to take the North Yorkshire Grand National. That's the selection for Pimmers in the big one at Catterick on Thursday, the 2:35. Thanks for that, Pimmers. Enjoyable as always, and best of luck.
Thank you.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.